We are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, Mike Giletto.
What's up, what's up?
What up, what up? Before we get into today's show, I wanted to let you guys know that you can follow us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at K Collington and Mike at Mike _ Giletto. You can also find the show on lastwordonsports.com, and we do have a Facebook page.
We do.
All right, now let's get into it.
So, did you watch the Oscars at all Sunday night?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
It's, you know, it's a bunch of pretentious people in suits that, you know.
Sure. It's if I follow the best picture, maybe, you know, I'll follow it a little bit, but it's not really my thing.
So, the tweet of the year goes out to Macaulay Culkin.
Tweet of the year. I saw this. You retweeted this from our podcast account.
I did.
Again, at YWT Podcast.
So, they were presenting the best original score.
Right, which, if you guys don't know, is the best songs, the best soundtrack to a movie.
Yeah. So, after they announced the winner, Macaulay Culkin tweeted, "Actually, the best original score of the year was New England 33, Philadelphia 41.
Go Birds!"
Macaulay Culkin is an Eagles fan, apparently.
Apparently, man.
I like it.
Home Alone with a Super Bowl ring.
Yep.
I like
beautiful.
That.
Beautiful. Absolutely. What?
I like that.
It gave me a little bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
So I figured I had to share it.
Yeah, no, that's it's interesting to see. It's good to see a little bit of Hollywood support for the Philly sports teams.
Unless it's just a bash on New England. We don't know that.
Either way, I'm fine with
either
it.
Either way, I'm cool with it. Right?
I hate the Patriots, so it's fine. Like you saw the Will Smith video that he put out on Super Bowl Sunday,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
The little jump cut. Him putting on the Eagles jersey, cheering on the game. Like, it was great.
Yeah, it was. It was awesome.
It was great. I think he uploaded it, like, at halftime, and the last shot was the Philly special.
Yeah. No, it's fun seeing
a
lot of
that. Losing his mind.
I know Bradley Cooper is a huge Eagles fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not even from this area. He's just
adapted
to it. I think it was Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah,
that's what really did it for him.
Yeah.
Man, that movie was great.
But now every time they do like a promo, he's usually the guy announcing it.
Oh yeah,
either him or Dawkins are the narrators of those
he
promos.
Is all in, and yeah. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's great.
But all right, we're gonna get into today's show. We don't really have a whole lot planned, I'll be honest with you guys, but we do have some Flyers talk.
Yep.
The Flyers played a great game last Monday after we recorded.
Yeah,
it was a 0-0 tie at the end of the show at the end of the overtime.
Yep.
It went into the shootout.
They had a ton of chances that game, too.
They did.
Like, both goalies played very well.
Yeah. And that was Charlie Lindgren, right?
Yep. That
yeah,
was.
You
remember,
were
I was complaining about it.
Yeah.
I was going nuts saying, why isn't it not Antiniemi, but whatever.
Peter Mrazek played a great game.
He did. He played a really good game.
He played a stellar hockey game.
Yeah. 28 saves on 28 shots and then locked down the shootout.
And he wasn't all that busy.
No.
Flyers had, what, 38 shots? Some absurd
Flyers,
number of shots in that game.
The Flyers had 33 shots.
33 shots. Okay, I guess it's not as absurd as I thought it was.
Yeah, Flyers had 33 shots. Canadians had 28.
But, yeah, it sure seemed like all the play was down in Montreal's end.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the Flyers were just pushing and pushing and pushing, and they played a really good game.
Yeah, the Flyers, they kept everything to the outside. You know, there wasn't too many chances. But when they had something, you know, Mrazek stood tall.
And then we moved to Thursday.
Yeah.
That game was a bit of a disappointment.
It was sloppy.
Yeah.
It was ugly. You expect a better showing at home against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I was in attendance. A friend offered me a ticket, so I got a chance to go check that game out.
You can never turn that down.
Absolutely not.
But it's not necessarily the game you want to go to.
Hey, listen, man, free tickets are free tickets. I'll throw that out there. If any of you guys would like to offer me free tickets,
we're not going to turn them down.
I will not turn them down. Yeah. I'll even pay for your parking. How about that?
But they got outshot by the Hurricanes 35-22.
Yeah, they did not look good.
No, not at all.
The play, we just talked about the Montreal game. It seemed like the play was always in Montreal's end. Against the Hurricanes, it was in the Flyers' end the whole game.
Yeah, it was.
And they couldn't clear the puck. They couldn't do anything. And the power play was atrocious in that game.
Yeah, it was.
Carolina, I don't know if it was just a game plan against the Flyers or if that's how they normally play. I don't catch a lot of Hurricane hockey. But they were aggressive.
Yeah. The Flyers only had two power plays. They went 0-2, obviously.
I don't think they had more than one shot on those two.
Yeah.
It was awful. They couldn't get anything set up.
Yeah.
And It was not good. And then you had our shootout on Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Which...
It was literally a shootout.
Yeah. And that one's tough. Like, it's hard to kind of complain when you get a point from the best team in the league. But yeah. They blew a two-goal game. And then you have a power play in overtime, a 4-on-3, which usually should be... You should get that almost every time.
Yeah, you really should convert that.
I mean, a 4-on-3, there's so much space.
And it's weird to say in a game where the final score was 7-6, but Andre Vasilevsky played really well.
Yeah.
It's super strange to say because
the Flyers had 43 shots. Flyers had 43 shots.
Right. He allowed 6 goals.
Yeah.
But he still had 37 saves.
But you know who had a really nice game that game on Saturday?
Who's that?
Nolan Patrick.
He did.
He had a hell of a game.
Every game he looks better.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, there's been a couple of little backslides.
Except for the game we're about to get into with nobody looks good. But we'll get to that in a second.
There are a couple little games where he backslides a little bit. But just generally speaking, game over game,
he's starting to get a speed.
I mean, he's no Brandon Saad, but he's pretty good. You know, Brandon Saad, the best player in the NHL, according to Corsi stats.
There's a call out from last week's show. Yeah.
I'm still waiting, Charlie. At K Collington.
Oh, we're going to keep this going.
Collington.
He's not
come
gonna
at me, Charlie.
He's too busy sitting in front of a computer.
Yeah, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to crunch those numbers. Anyway, no. Andre Vasilevsky made a couple of really, really big saves to keep them in that game.
Yeah, he's probably the ahead of the race for the Vezina.
Yeah, I would say that. If Montreal was better, Carey Price would be in that mix.
Yeah.
If Carey Price could stay healthy, Carey Price would probably still be in that mix.
Yeah, he's battling a concussion right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. Caused by Shane Gostisbehere.
It was. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He drilled him right.
Drilled him right off the dome.
Yep.
With an absolute clapper.
Yeah. It turns out Ghost can do that.
Yeah.
No, but it's funny because I don't even think Peter Mrazek played that poorly. Tampa Bay scored 7 goals.
Yeah.
But I think a couple of them were on the power play. And then, which it's hard to put on the goalie.
They scored 1 power play goal. They went 1-for-1, Tampa.
Okay.
The Flyers, on the other hand, 1-for-5.
Yeah, Tampa gave them a lot of opportunities.
You have to convert more than once on 5 power plays. That's not very, you're not going to win many games like that.
No.
Especially on a team that's power play dependent as they are.
Right. And then, but even going back and looking at the other goals that Tampa scored, a couple of them were on breakaways. Again, it's hard to put that on the goalie. And a couple of them were weird deflections or weird bounces. Peter Mrazek, didn't do the best job of putting himself. You know, Peter Mrazek could have very easily stolen that game.
Yeah.
If he makes 2 of those saves that, like, he probably should have made, the Flyers probably win that game.
Yeah.
Especially when you're up 5-3 in the third period. Like, you really have to clamp down on that game and get your 2 points and get out of Tampa.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But like you said, that team is lethal when it comes to scoring.
Right.
The Tampa team.
Right.
A lot of the goals scored were, in transition, on-man rushes, and that's kind of what killed them on Sunday.
Yeah, but at the same time, sticking with Tampa for just 1 second before we move to the game against the Panthers on Sunday. At the same time, your team scored 6 goals for you.
Yep.
You got to win that game.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely.
You got to win that game. Like, you just can't.
Exactly. Especially, like I said, they had a power play in overtime.
Right.
I mean, that's a 4-on-3 is a lot easier to score than, a 5-on-4 is. There's just more space.
Well, I'm talking about if you're Peter Mrazek.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Your team scores 6 goals. You got to stand tall enough to make 6 goals stand up. You can let in 5 and still win the game.
Yep.
But, and you weren't going to beat Tampa in a shootout. Just the skill they have is absurd.
Yeah.
They didn't even have to go to Kucherov.
I mean, no.
Like, didn't even have to go to Nikita Kucherov.
No, it's because for some reason everybody in this team just tries to shoot the puck from the top of the circle on shootouts instead of, trying to make a move, trying to make the goaltender move from side to side. It just doesn't make sense, but whatever.
Claude's done a couple of dirty little moves this year, but
he didn't even go in the shootout. It was Couturier and Patrick.
Yeah.
And they just go down and just shoot.
Anyway, to cap off a pretty disappointing week in Flyers hockey, the Flyers played the Panthers Sunday. And boy, did they look poor.
The whole entire team looked bad.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And I don't understand. Like, it was their third game in 4 days, including a trip from Philly to Florida. So, you know, fatigue might have something to do with it. But you got to beat a team like Florida.
I mean, it shows how bad their defense is.
Yeah, the Flyers were playing to stay in first place or to get back into first place.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you could say that.
No, they were.
Right.
They were playing to get back into first place, and they lost 4-1 to the Florida Panthers and didn't. It wasn't even close. It never was a close game. Florida scored fairly early, and then they scored another one on a beautiful move by Barkov. Beautiful. That was filthy.
And that was off of a horrendous turnover by Jake Voracek, which he's done time and time again. I'm still not the biggest Jake Voracek fan. I think he gets way too much, you know, I think it's way too much credit for being this superstar all-star.
He's an offensive-minded guy.
Yeah, but he does so many things that are just flat-out dumb.
I understand. No, that's valid.
So that's my one criticism, and that goal happened mainly because of him.
Just I'm gonna show Mike something real quick. Can you just read that for me? It's the season assist leaders. Who's at the top of that list?
I understand. Yeah.
Who's at the top of that list?
I understand. Jake Voracek.
Oh, okay.
I understand.
He's an offensive minded player. And sure. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm sure his plus minus isn't all that great.
Where did that turnover happen? In the offensive zone.
Yeah.
If he's an offensive player, he shouldn't be turning the puck over in the offensive zone.
Yeah, and then something.
He constantly does it where he'll do 4 or 5 things terrific. You know, go through 3 guys, have a nice pass, get the puck back, and then for some reason just throws it to another to the opposing teammate. He does it time and time again.
Yeah, at one point on the broadcast, the whole team had an issue with that yesterday.
The whole team played awful.
Yeah,
except you can make a case for like Ghost and like maybe Konechny.
Ghost played well. Lindblom played all right.
He played okay.
He disappeared a little bit.
He almost had his first goal.
Yeah,
it was close. It's a little wraparound.
Man, he's
chance.
Just always close.
He's buzzing.
One of these days he's gonna get one, and as soon as the floodgates open, watch out.
Yeah,
watch out.
He's playing really well.
You know, Wayne Simmons traveled to Florida with them.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that.
Which is weird, because like he wasn't expected to play. Like, I know he skated, but he wasn't expected to play, and then they're coming back home.
I wonder if he'll be ready Wednesday.
I don't know.
It's in the time frame.
I think it's a little close.
Yeah, but you know how Wayne Simmons feels about playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something.
He loves it.
Let me ask you something. When he does come back,
okay,
who's the odd man out?
Now, right now, you don't need to make a move. Because one thing we didn't mention is that Johnny Oduya only played 9 seconds in the third period yesterday.
Who's your man on a forward? Who gets the scratch? That was my question.
Yeah. In a perfect world, Weeze and Laterra don't put jerseys on.
Okay.
Quite frankly, for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Realistically, it's probably going to be Taylor Lear.
Okay. I'm fine with
it. Unless they're going to send Lindblom back down.
I don't think they're going to send Lindblom back.
I don't necessarily think they are either.
Because if you were listening to Ron Hextall's trade deadline press conference.
Right.
He said, we didn't make a move because we felt that our team was better when we added Lindblom.
Yeah.
So they're treating Lindblom as a trade deadline acquisition.
Acquisition.
Sorry.
It's not that early in the morning, Mike.
It's early. It's what, noon?
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't. Somebody you acquire at the deadline isn't going to get sent down. So the fact that he said this makes our team better.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, and I'm not necessarily saying they're going to. I think it's probably Lear, and I think Lear is still eligible to go down without waivers.
Yeah, probably. I'd have to look, but
it's him or maybe Wheel.
Wheel might have to go through waivers.
Well, I'm just saying in terms
of coming out of the lineup, right?
Yeah, because as much as the entire fan base would love it to be Weeze or Laterra, it's not gonna be.
No,
it's just not. It's just not.
I don't know. Why not though? Like, why? I mean, we've had this conversation. Listen, why not?
I can't tell you why not. I can't, but for some reason, it's not going to happen.
Okay, now you alluded to it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Johnny Oduya, we're not sure his status.
Right.
Okay. who replaces him in the lineup.
Right, because McDonald still won't be ready to go.
Right. Assuming he won't be ready to go. They said day-to-day, so he might be ready by Wednesday.
God, I hope not. Like, I'm not wishing injury on him, but, you know, let him take a little more time, you know.
But if he if he's not, if neither of them are ready to go, do the thing the fan base has been clamoring for months?
Well,
and bring up Travis Sanheim?
Here's my thing. Looking specifically at the matchup, I'd like to see Sam Murray get the call up. If he's healthy. I don't even know if he's healthy.
He was a scratch the other night in Lehigh Valley, so he might not be ready yet.
Okay. Well, if he's healthy, that's the guy I'd rather have in the lineup against, specifically against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking long term for the rest of the season, it's Travis Sanheim.
I think they have to make a move. I think that the
they literally have to make a move if they only have five defensemen. No, okay. Mike.
Even if they're both ready to go, something has to be done because Sunday proved this defensive core is not good.
I think
they got caught flat-footed multiple times, including the new guy, Johnny Oduya.
I think that says something about how fast Florida is.
Oh, Florida's a very skilled, talented, fast team. Barkov and Dadonov. If the Flyers were Dadonov's bitch all game.
Yeah, and I don't know if you watched that game.
I did, yeah.
But they did that stretch pass.
Oh, they were looking for it because they know how slow the Flyers' defense is.
They do that against everybody.
Okay.
That wasn't us. That's Florida's game plan.
No, I get that.
And now, yes, the defensive core should have kept that in mind and done a better job of either sticking with the guy who's cheating out or getting in the passing lane. But that being said,
Other than Ghost, Provorov, even though he played like garbage on Sunday.
Provorov did not play his best game.
Aside from Ghost, Provorov, and maybe Hag, this defensive core is very slow and too slow to make it. Even Gudas.
I don't think Gudas is as slow as people think he is.
He's not fast. He's slow. And you don't have to be the fastest player in the world to play defense.
Right.
But he's slow.
Okay, well,
I did, however, love the giant hit he put on.
Oh, there was a couple good ones there.
Yeah, I forget who was on.
He had to answer the bell for it.
Yeah.
But I don't love that. I mean, it was a clean hit.
It was a clean hit.
Like, if he took a cheap shot and somebody wants to stand up for their teammate, all right.
Yeah, but today's NHL, there aren't many hits anymore, regardless, like that, open ice hits.
Yeah,
so as soon as it happens, somebody's going to answer.
Yeah, somebody's gonna stand up, and you're going to have to answer for it. And
yeah.
To his credit, he did. You know, he didn't back away from the fight. He has no issue dropping the gloves.
No, not at all. It was a very anticlimactic fight, but
I liked the way he played on Sunday.
Yeah.
And regardless of how the team did, he played the kind of game I wanted him to play. He threw the body, got called for a very questionable interference call.
Yeah.
The puck was right there. It's not interference. If you want to call it charging or whatever you want to call it, it wasn't interference. He comes out of the box, lays that hit, and then immediately fights. He didn't play nervous because he got called for that early penalty.
And it seemed like that's the way that he's been playing recently over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he's starting to get that little bit of an edge back.
Yeah, he played cautious the last couple weeks where he's like afraid to hit somebody and get another suspension.
Yeah, and the problem with Radko Gudas is he gets suspended and he kind of resets to zero on his aggressiveness level. And then he slowly creeps up and creeps up and creeps up. And then there's a period of time where he starts playing really well.
Really well.
And he's playing pretty close to the edge, but he's on the right side of it. And he's contributing offensively, and he's throwing bodies, and he's getting in fights. And then he crosses the line.
Then there's a matter of time where he does something stupid.
Crosses the line, gets suspended again, and restarts back from zero.
Yeah.
I would love for him to sit at a 7 out of 10 all the time.
Uh-huh.
But he starts at a zero. He works his way up. He goes to 9 out of 10. He hits somebody high and leaves his feet, gets suspended for 3 games, and then starts at zero again. Right. And I would like to see him level out a little more.
Yeah, but when they acquired him, they weren't expecting him to be a stud. Was he involved in the Coburn trade?
I think so. I think it was.
Right?
You looked that up.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
No, Radko Gudas isn't, I think he's a solid top four guy. I think he sits on your second pair with a good, quick, puck-moving defenseman. He plays a good, steady, stay-at-home role, and he can absolutely lay people out.
Wow. I'm looking at the trade.
Okay.
All right, so Tampa.
Was this the Felpula deal?
No, it was the Braden Coburn deal that I just said.
Okay.
Yeah. Tampa, the Flyers traded Braden Coburn. And in return, they got Radko Gudas, a first-round pick, and a third-round pick.
Was that Hextall or is that still Homer?
It was in 2015, so probably Hextall. When did Hextall come in?
I think it was Hextall.
13 or 14.
Wow, turns out he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Who was that first-round pick? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'll have to look that up. Give me a second.
All right. Regardless, I like Radko Gudas as a player. I think he plays good Broad Street Bullies hockey. And I think he provides a little bit of an edge to this team where I think they lack it sometimes, especially when Wayne Simmonds is keeping himself contained like he has this year. Because you can say that about Wayne Simmonds. He hasn't shown the fire that he's had in previous years. He's had a down year. I wonder if he's struggling with something.
Yeah, maybe. They didn't end up using the pick. They traded it. I can't find it, but they did trade it.
Okay. But Radko Gudas, I'd like to see him level out a little bit. And I'd like to see him play at kind of that 6 or 7 out of 10 all the time.
Yeah. And I lied. They used that pick to trade up to get Travis Konecny.
Man, that sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
Remember that time we got a third-round pick for Zach Rinaldo? Who became the first player in NHL history to be suspended in the NHL and the AHL at the same time.
At the same exact time.
And we got a third-round pick for him.
He's done some good stuff when it comes to trades.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Zach Rinaldo did some good stuff.
No. Except the time that he dummied, who was it? It was a Tampa player. And he
BJ
hit him with
Crombie.
That's what it was, where he hit him as he was going down. It's the greatest moment in Zach Rinaldo's career.
That was a one-hit KO, man. Yeah. He took one shot, and Crombean was
That's
down.
Right, BJ Crombean.
I don't even think he's still in the league.
I'd be hard-pressed to say no.
Zach Rinaldo took care of that.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I don't think Rinaldo's in the league either.
But. No, but we alluded to it, and Flyers have a tough week ahead.
Yeah, it's a real tough week.
You got Pittsburgh on Wednesday in
Philly. We know how physically demanding games the Flyers and Penguins have.
And then they don't get a rest. They have to travel to Boston and play the Bruins,
who are probably the second or third best team in the whole league.
Right. And you want to talk about physically demanding.
Yeah.
You know, Boston plays that same grinded out style.
Yeah. We've talked about how dominant Tampa's been this year. Tampa's goal differential is plus 58.
It's insane.
Boston isn't far behind them.
They're like plus 48.
Plus 51.
Like plus 51. Wow.
Yeah. So Boston's really good.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Yeah. And then that game Wednesday in Philly against the Penguins is the purest definition of a 4-point game.
Yeah.
Flyers have 17 games remaining. Sorry, 16 games remaining. And that's
so
a 4-point game.
So does Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh has 1 point or are 1 point behind them.
Yeah.
In the standings.
Yeah. That's
as of Monday.
It's a 4-point game. And as we move on, as we move a little closer to the playoffs, it's starting to look like we might end up playing the Penguins.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty excited.
That'd be real fun.
I don't know if we beat them. I think this team... See, so coming into this season, a lot of people picked this Flyers team to finish last in the division.
I don't know about last.
A lot of
close
people.
To
a lot
it.
Of people did. Because nobody thought the Islanders were going to be as bad as they are. And, like, it's... I remember reading some preseason things, and a lot of teams predicted the Flyers to finish, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th in the division and not come anywhere near a playoff spot.
Right.
And if the season ended today, they would host a divisional playoff series.
Against the Pittsburgh
Penguins. The two-time defending champion Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
But man, how good would it feel to knock them out of that three-peat early?
That'd be huge.
You can take them out in the first round. You know you're going to beat Washington in the second because Washington doesn't win in the second round. And, man, this team could do some stuff.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
No, I have a question for you.
Sure, what's that?
But before I ask you that question, we're gonna do our little transitional segment. We don't have too many topics to talk about today. So we're going to throw 7 or 6 seconds in here where we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers in 7 or 6 seconds. Take it away, Mike.
The Sixers went 2-2 last week, including Sunday night's game, where they blew two 20-point leads.
Wow. Who cares? 7 or 6 seconds, where we talk about the most irrelevant team in Philadelphia sports in 7 or 6 seconds. So I want to ask you.
Okay.
If the season ends today,
yep.
Do the Flyers beat the Penguins in the first round?
I wasn't expecting that.
No.
My realistic point of view, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think they're deep enough.
Okay. I think that's fair. I don't think the Penguins are all that deep. Like, who's on the Penguins' bottom six? Like, yeah, they have the star power. They have the Crosby and the Malkin and, you know, the Phil Kessel. And even if you want to talk about Patrick Hornquist and Jake Guentzel. And who did they just add at the deadline?
Oh, Derek Brassard.
They just added Derek
Brassard. Who's our third line center? Who it's most teams' first line center. Like,
yeah, but in the bottom six, other than Brassard, who do they have? And Matt Murray has shown that he's a little shaky.
And he has some injury history.
Right.
I mean, he's a young goalie to have injury histories. Right. Like,
and then if Tristan Jarry is your goalie in a playoff series, you're in some trouble. And, you know, defensively, they traded away Ian Cole. They're a little weaker on defense.
They got shellacked by somebody on Saturday. Was it Saturday? Yeah, they or lost last week. Or
It was Thursday. They lost to Boston 8-4.
Yeah.
Boston absolutely destroyed them. Zdeno Chara fought Jamie Alexi, who's like 6'7" in and of himself, and Chara made him look like a rag doll.
Chara's done that to a lot of people over his
Yeah, it turns out Chara's a big dude.
Yeah. But, I mean, you were talking about the depth of the Penguins.
Yeah.
I mean,
I honestly don't know. Who's in their bottom six?
Okay, so right now, playing on their third line is Phil Kessel.
Sure.
Derek Brassard, Dominic Simon, and Phil Kessel are all playing on their third line.
Sure.
It's a solid third line.
It's a good third line.
It's way better than the Flyers' third line.
Well, that's only because Weeze and Letera are playing. They're technically the third line, but they're getting less minutes than...
Their fourth line's a lot better than our fourth line.
Who is it?
Tom Kunackle. Like, sure. Riley Sheehan.
Fine.
And Connor Sheary.
It's
a lot better than the Flyers' fourth line.
But I think the reason you think it's a lot better is because those guys have cup experience.
Still a lot better.
Which is fair.
It's a lot better.
I don't necessarily know.
And Sheehan and Sheary both have played top 6 minutes in the NHL.
I mean, sure, but when you're playing with Crosby, anybody looks good.
Riley Sheehan was in Detroit playing top six minutes.
Okay, I could play top 6 minutes in Detroit.
You can't skate.
Exactly. Exactly. Who's their decor?
Their decor is a little rough.
Yeah.
Chris Letang, who's obviously stud. He's made of glass, but he's a stud.
410 years old.
He's not that old. He's not even 28 yet.
Is he not? I'll look that up. You continue running through the...
Yeah, so Chris Letang, which we know he's a stud. Like I said, he's a glass house. He gets hurt a lot. Got the history there, but he's still a stud. Brian Dumoulin is paired with him. He's just okay. Like, whatever. It's Brian Dumoulin. Ole Mata.
Chris Letang's 30.
Is he?
He'll be 31 in April.
Okay, that's not ancient.
No, okay.
I thought he
was a little older.
Ole Mata and Chad... So I'm going to butcher Ruedel? His name. Yeah.
I got you.
There you go. Thanks.
I got you, buddy.
Jamie Oleksiak and Justin Schultz.
Yeah. We can take care of that. I think we have a better defense than them, and we just talked about our D core being a little weak.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think I might agree with that.
I think that's a really interesting series because you know Provorov and Ghost are on the Crosby line the whole time.
Are they, though?
They have to be. Do you want Andrew McDonald out there with Crosby?
No, I do not.
Right. I think it's a really interesting series, and I think throughout his career, Sean Couturier has had Sidney Crosby's number.
Not even Crosby. He's had Malkin's number.
True. And then Giroux has had Crosby's number in a pretty decent fashion.
Yeah, like the shift.
The shift.
That's all I have to call it.
Capital T, capital S.
The shift.
The shift.
He drilled Sidney Crosby off the opening faceoff.
Yep.
Went down and snipes it.
Oh, something else.
Bar down.
Something else that happened this weekend. Claude Giroux moved up in the all-time Flyers scoring list.
He did. I think he's fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's closing in on your boy Eric Lindros.
He is.
So is he going to have his number retired?
All right, we're gonna get into this, huh?
I mean, why not?
We
don't have anything to talk about today.
If he keeps this up, what he's doing this year, and establishes, is able to establish it moving forward further down the line, and you know is able to have success the way he's doing this season. Yes,
if he plays more than 15 games a season, he'll end up with more games played than Lindros. If he can keep his head up in the playoffs, he'll play more games than Lindros.
He's proving to be an all-time great Flyer. Okay.
Okay, what if Claude Giroux retired after this season?
No. Okay. It's close, but no.
He's not that far behind Eric Lindros.
No, I get that.
Okay. I'm just checking.
He's played a lot more games, probably.
I doubt it. Look that up.
I will.
But no, I'm not even necessarily making a case for Claude Giroux getting his number retired. I just wanted to talk about how ridiculous the concept of you wanting to retire everybody's number is.
I don't want to retire everybody's number.
I mean, listen, if you want to retire Eric Lindros' number, then you want to retire everybody's number. He was mediocre.
I'm not doing this again. We did this, you know, like a month or two ago. I'm not doing it.
Name Claude Giroux's parents.
We're not doing this again.
Oh, you can't do it. Oh, okay. Maybe it's because they're not a distraction.
What does that have to do with you on or off the ice?
I thought we weren't going to do this, well, Mike.
No, because you said some dumb shit, and now I'm going to answer back. What does that have to do with being good or bad on the ice?
Because you have to be a part of an organization and part of a team. Do you think the guys in the locker room liked playing with Eric Lindros with his parents standing over his shoulder the whole career?
You're an idiot. No, listen, it's a dumb opinion.
Listen.
We already did this.
You guys can go back to listen to, episode 2?
I don't remember. It was so stupid.
It was pretty early on. Episode 2 or 3, we talked about Eric Lindros potentially getting his number retired. And by the way, while we're talking about old episodes can be found on Podbean. Right?
Yeah.
Old episodes are on Podbean.
Yep, they are.
And I know we got a little traffic this week because we got featured on Bleacher Report.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I'd like to take a second and thank you guys for finding us, clicking on the article, listening to us, giving us a shot. And if you came back, welcome back.
Yeah.
You can go back and listen to all our old episodes on Podbean, or if you have an iPhone or iTunes of any kind, we are on the podcast store there. Just search You Would Think, and we should pop right up.
Yeah.
We have several old episodes for you to go back and listen to.
Yeah, this is going to be episode 10. It's a big milestone.
Episode 10. Yeah. Wow. That double digits.
Oh, he played a lot more games than Lindros.
Okay.
Lindros, in his whole entire career, played 760.
Okay.
Claude Giroux played with the Flyers 722.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Okay, so with the Flyers, Lindros played 486 games.
Okay, you know why Claude Giroux has played so many more games?
Why?
Because he's been healthy, for the most part. For the most part.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Was Eric Lindros not dominant on the ice? Was he not one of the best players of all time?
Not necessarily.
What the hell do you mean, eh?
Take it or leave it. If you could start... Okay, listen... If you're a GM of an NHL franchise,
mm-hmm.
and you can get Eric Lindros at 18 or Claude Giroux at 18.
Eric Lindros.
Wow. Even with all the baggage?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Now, what if you traded several picks and Peter Forsberg?
Eric Lindros. He was the next one.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
He was a can't-miss prospect.
Is his number retired across the league?
You can't compare him to Wayne Gretzky. That's a dumb
argument.
You literally
just did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. Saying,
okay, when you call someone the next one,
okay.
Who are you comparing him to?
I get that argument.
You're comparing him to the great one. You literally just did it.
This podcast is taking years off my life.
Good. Good.
It's a dumb thing to say.
Because then your opinion won't be around as long.
Wow.
Wow. Love you, buddy.
Was he, do you not like remember the greatness of Eric Lindros?
Mike, you're like 6 months older than
me. Doesn't
matter.
You
don't remember it either.
I watched it. Yes, I remember growing up watching it. You obviously didn't watch it as close enough as I did.
Okay. I mean, I did, but okay.
He was a great player.
He was good. He was good.
You said he was mediocre. That's a different argument.
Okay, we've talked before. We talked about it on our Eric Lindros jersey retirement episode. But I believe that to get into the Hall of Fame, you should be in the top 1% of players of all time. And I think Eric Lindros is very close to that line on one side or the other. I think jersey retirement should be for the top 1% of the Hall of Fame. And Eric Lindros is nowhere near that, in my opinion.
It's a dumb argument.
Okay. You and I disagree on this.
Heavily. Yes, we do.
I understand. I also think that teams should be a little more frugal with their jersey retirement. Like, why is Mark Howe's number retired?
I agree. I don't get that one. Or Ashby. on top of that.
I get Ashby, but
I don't. Like, he died, I get it, sure.
Right.
But he's not the type of player that should have his number retired. It just wasn't.
And nobody's worn Pelly's number, but it's not officially retired. No. And if they ever decided to retire it, I'd be okay with it.
I mean, I think Lindros deserves it more. Like,
Okay.
Play-wise, sure. I'm talking about what you do on the ice.
Okay. I mean, it's more than that, though.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. It's about being part of a team. How many cups did Eric Lindros win?
It's not. It's a dumb
argument. Answer the question.
Zero, but it's okay. A dumb argument.
It's fine. I honestly, going back to the thing that kickstarted this whole little tangent, I don't necessarily think Claude Giroux deserves his number retired right now. Now, you win a cup. If he plays for 3 more years and wins a cup, yeah, you're in. Done. But as of right now, he's very good. I think he deserves to be in the Flyers Hall of Fame, potentially the Hockey Hall of Fame. But jersey retirement is a little far-fetched.
Sure. We'll have this conversation, I'm sure, in a few years.
Yeah, I think my only caveat is if Claude Giroux goes into the Hall of Fame, Bobby Clark has to induct him and say his name wrong.
Oh, he didn't say his name wrong. He forgot his name.
Who is it? From Gatineau.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, Claude Giroux.
Oh, I forgot. One of the best draft moments in Philly history, but we don't talk about that because the only thing anybody talks about when it comes to Philly in the draft is booing Donovan.
Yeah,
McNabb.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Literally the only thing.
And as we touch on the Eagles there, a little bit of Eagles news.
Yeah. The Eagles are expected to release Vinny Curry.
Yeah. You know, I feel like there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Just after the Super Bowl, you kind of have to make the numbers work and people want raises. And also, speaking of Eagles who are leaving the team.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this one. This one hurts. This one hits close to home.
Donnie Jones,
the best Eagle of all time.
Has decided to retire.
So let's pour one out for our boy.
Pour one
Donnie
out
Jones.
For Donnie.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll replace him with somebody. And
nobody is good.
He won't be as good.
No, I'm disappointed.
And we'll complain. It'll give us something to complain about next year.
True.
Because I think this team's going to be very good. And if we have special team to complain about, then, you know,
it's something to complain about. It gives us something to talk about.
Exactly. It'll keep certain Philadelphia area radio stations in business.
Yeah,
because all they talk about is the Eagles. That's why this podcast exists, by the way, because we talk about the Flyers when nobody else does, in case we haven't made that clear enough on air.
Well, Broad Street Hockey talks Flyers.
Who?
Crickets.
Who?
Broad Street Hockey. Corsi.
Who?
He's okay. We got into that last week. No more of that.
Come at me, Charlie. Still waiting. At KCOLLINGTON on Twitter. I'm waiting.
You should just add him.
My DMs are open.
You should just message him.
Maybe. He's not worth it.
Yeah, he's not.
He'll just come back with numbers and like.
I'm telling you, he's too busy.
Too much time.
He's too busy in front of a computer with his pants down.
We're going there, huh? All right. I think that means we need to wrap this show up for the week. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but, you know, we had some fun with it.
We always have fun.
Absolutely. And that's why we're doing this. But before we go, we have something special for you guys. We have a giveaway.
Oh, we do.
We have the first giveaway in You Would Think history.
We do. I'm really excited about this one.
We're going to send out a tweet when this show goes live, and we're going to pin it to the top of our page so you guys can find it real easy. All you have to do is follow us on Twitter and retweet that tweet, and you can win a very nice Flyers knit hat.
Yep. You're going to go into a drawing, and we'll pull a name.
And we'll pull a name live on the air next week. It's a nice hat.
Yeah.
One size fits most. My head's huge and it fits me.
Huge, yeah.
So we'll post a picture of the hat too so you know what you're entering for.
Yeah, and hopefully if this show gets big enough, we could do this a lot.
Yeah, spread the word. We want to do more of these. I actually got given this by my manager. Shout out to Paul.
Yep.
And I figured I'd give it away on the show as a thank you to you guys for being so awesome. And retweet that and follow the page and you'll be entered to win. At YWT Podcast is where you can find that.
Yeah.
And you can find the show on Twitter right there at YWT. You can find me on Twitter at K Collington. Come at me, Charlie. You can find Mike on Twitter at Mike_Giletto. You can find the page on, or you can find the show on lastword.com, lastwordonsports.com, iTunes, Podbean, and Facebook.
And Google Play.
And Google Play.
I don't know how much traffic we get there.
I don't know if anyone uses Google Play.
I don't think so, but it's worth noting.
If you listen to the show on Google Play, you let us know.
Let us know.
We'll give you an extra entry into the hat right. giveaway.
Yeah. There has to be proof, though. You can't just say it.
Right. No, send us a screenshot.
Yeah.
All right. And I believe that'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.